In December 1948, a body was found on the beach at Somerton. The body remains unidentified after 70 years, with his cause of death still unclear. The new documentary from South Australian filmmakers Dr. Carolyn Billsborough and Wayne Groom explores the mystery of the Somerton Man and how he came to be. Dr. Carolyn Billsborough and Wayne Groom join us live in studio now to discuss more. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Now, how did you both come across the mystery of the Somerton Man originally?
I think that was my fault. It was a story that's just kind of been hanging around. I saw it come up somewhere on the internet. And I saw those letters that are on the were on the back of his poetry book, just a bunch of random letters. And I arrogantly thought, I can solve this. And 2 years later, I haven't solved it yet. I don't think I ever will. but we've made a great film out of it.
So what do we know about the Somerton Man?
Well, he was found on the beach on December the 1st, 1948. And it was strange because he didn't have any identification. So the labels had been taken off his clothes. He didn't have a wallet. There was no way of identifying him. Then police thought, well, you know, he's obviously a suicide. Somebody will come and claim him. A number of people did try and claim him, but they all proved not to be correct. So it wasn't until really they found some small piece of a clue on his clothing that the case really took off.
And what was the clue?
After about, two or three months, mm-hmm. they did another check on his clothing and found a little rolled up piece of paper in his fob pocket of his pants. And Bertie Cleland, the professor who was involved, had to use some tweezers to pull it out. And everyone's like watching that pull out and says, Tamim Shud. Everyone goes, what the hell does that mean? And so then they had to find out, you know, what that clue meant.
And nobody in Adelaide knew what it meant. They went to libraries, they went all over the place searching. But it was a guy at the Advertiser, Frank Kennedy, one of the journalists, who came forward and said, I know what that means. It's out of the old book of poetry, the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, and it's on the very last page, and it means the end.
Now, Carolyn, you mentioned just before that you sort of came across this case in a considered way 2 years ago, and you thought, I can solve this. Now, you must have had a sort of beginning theory when you thought, oh, yeah, I reckon I know what happened here. How far has what you think happened when you first came across this to where you are now?
I'm back at the original start point. We've been around in circles maybe about five times. We came up with at least five theories on who he was. We had names of who we thought he was. And every time we went through the process of researching, we even drove to Sydney to go to the National Archives in New South Wales to find one lead. And it just proved, well, you couldn't prove it. It's too many missing pieces. So I'm back at it's a suicide. I think the poor guy just had enough of life. The fact that he's got Tamim Shud, the end, sitting in his paper, in his pocket, that's kind of like a suicide note. And I think, yeah, it's suicide.
And unless, of course, he was murdered and somebody placed the Tamim Shud in his pocket to give us a clue.
Yes, thanks, Wayne. Yeah, that's totally possible as well.
Now you've obviously you've made a film about this. That's what we're discussing, and it'll be on this Thursday night. So, how does your investigation for a cold case that's 70 years old? How was your approach to investigating this different?
Well, I guess we had the help of Professor Derek Abbott at the University of Adelaide, who's been researching the project for 10 years, and he's meticulous in his research. So we met with him and talked about the case, and he opened his books to all of his contacts. So we were able to go and review, to interview people who knew the nurse involved in the case, and we were able to go and visit her sister in Melbourne, who's still alive. So we had these core people that we could sort of try and piece together. Plus there was Jerry Feltus, who'd written a book, The Unknown Man, and we gradually started to build up a library of interviews, which we didn't know where it was going to lead to. But
And our perspective's a little bit different because we've gone back to basics. Most of the accounts of the story we've heard in podcasts and newspaper articles are all putting forward a certain theory that isn't really evidence-based. So we've tried to just go back to the basics, just put what we have evidence for to clear the waters so that we can move forward with the investigation. And I think there is one more thing that we need to do, The next step, I think, is to exhume the man's body so that we can get some DNA, some good quality DNA, so that when people come forward with their theories that oh, I'm his granddaughter or I'm his niece, we can actually just check the DNA and go yes or no.
So just, I was just going to say, Casey, the point about, you know, where do you start because there's no identification and whatever. So what we gradually realised was that by looking at the nurse and understanding her personality and what her relationship with this man might have been, that you start to sort of get a profile of him. So that's helped us sort of create some sort of picture of who he might have been and why he might have been there.
We're speaking with Wayne Groom and Carolyn Billsborough about their film Missing Pieces, The Curious Case of the Somerton Man. Now, this case has, you know, all the bits and pieces of a mystery novel, you know, especially the little Tamam Shud bit that is quite amazing, really, in and of itself. What have been some of the most intriguing theories you've heard about how this man ended up on Somerton Beach?
My favourite is still, it's one of our many theories that we came up with. In the 1930s in Sydney, there was a gangster called Thomas Craig, and he was a real nasty pasty. And he'd murdered a man called Keane, and he'd dumped his body on Coward Street in Sydney. Yeah, so this was like mid-1930s, and he went on and he had quite a career. And then he goes missing in 1948. And one of the clues that was associated with Somerton Man was that he was found with some articles of clothing that had the name Keane on them. Now, I know this is a long shot, but, you know, in my mind, this was making sense. So we thought it was this guy, Thomas Craig, because he'd just gone missing after having this criminal record that was 20 years long. And then 1948, there's just nothing. He gets released from prison about 1947 and he disappears. And we're like, we've got him. And we had a newspaper article putting him in Glenelg as well. So at some point he had come from Sydney to Glenelg, so we thought, okay, he's got a history in South Australia. So this was the case where we drove all the way to New South Wales to check out more about Mr. Thomas Craig. And when we got there,
All the way there, we thought, this is it, we're going to close this case, we've done it, it all fits.
So when we got there, we found a photograph and a criminal sheet for Thomas Craig. And it turned out he was about 5 inches too short.
Oh.
Yeah, and his earlobes were too big. Oh. No. Now, so we still don't know what happened to Thomas Craig. We're hooked on that story.
Maybe
now.
That's the next film. Yeah. Well, on that note, we were speaking a little bit before we went to air about there are some people who get involved with this case and then they just find themselves deep in it and they don't know how to pull away. Mm. What's next for you both? Are you going to pursue this much further or have you got a different cold case in mind?
We've got another 5 parts of this story to
We're actually very exciting. Legacy South Australia have asked us to go to London for the armistice celebration, and a group of bike riders are going to ride from London through Belgium and France to Villers-Bretonneux for the celebrations, and they call it the Tour de Legacy, and they're raising money for Legacy. So they've asked us to come along and film this documentary and sort of interlace it with war footage and tell a story. So something completely different from what we're doing now. But there's a lot of marketing to be done for this project now that we've sold out the Mercury Cinema and we had to hire the Iris Cinema as well. So that's sold out now too. So people, you know, it's entrenched in their mind. They've been living with it for a long time and they all think that there's some clue that they can put together. So it's going to be an exciting night. We've got the Lady Mayoress coming along to the screening and the CEO of the South Australian Film Corporation. We've got professors. We've got attorney generals. It should be... And also, you know, all of the people who've researched the project, they'll be there as well. And we've got Paul Lawson, who is now 100 years old, and he was there on the day and worked on some of the man's body. So he's a fantastic person. So it's going to be one of those Somerton Man alumni nights that if we can't solve it that night, we'll never be solved with all the brains together.
Well, it's one of South Australia's great mysteries. Thanks very much, Wayne and Carolyn, for joining us on Breakfast this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Carolyn Billsborough and Wayne Groom, they're speaking about their film Missing Pieces, The Curious Case of the Somerton Man, which premieres at the Mercury Cinema on Thursday the 23rd. That's this Thursday.